Good morning. Happy February. Hey, one quick announcement before I get started. This Friday evening is Men's Night Out. So sign up online. You can still sign up. I know Paul would, and many of the other men on campus would love to be with you Friday night. Hey, I'd love for you to take out the Bible that's in front of you. You're going to have to share. It's a community effort. And I want you to turn to Psalm 51, page 452. Quick tip for those of you who maybe are not familiar with the Bible. Honestly, if you ever just are looking for Psalms, crack it open halfway and you'll get pretty close. So 452, Psalm 51. We've been looking at the Psalms this semester as the school of prayer and a way that we learn how to talk to God and how God talks to us. I just want you to leave that open on your laps right now. And first listen to this story. So this summer, I had the opportunity to go hiking up at Pictured Rocks. Highly recommend it. It was awesome. I went with a good friend from college, and we spent 5 days out on the trail, hiked about 40-some miles, and it was great. We got done, and we get back, and I like to collect patches. I don't know why. I don't really do anything with them from national parks that I've been to, and Pictured Rocks is a national park. So I was like, I'm going to run into the gift shop and grab a patch. So, I mean, I'm gross, you know, but you don't shower when you do this kind of thing. So I walk into the gift shop, and I'm acutely aware of my dirtiness and my smelliness, but I was like, I don't really care. So I walk in and grab the patch, and I go up to the guy at the counter, and I'm like, hey, you know, make some joke. We're like, sorry, you know, I'm really smelly, you know. He's like, oh, you know, no big deal. Did you just finish the marathon? And I'm thinking, yeah, 42 miles, it is a marathon. So I'm like, yeah, I did. He's like, awesome. Did you do it by yourself? No, a friend and I did it. And he's like, oh, no big deal. You know, I'm a runner too. And I'm thinking, I didn't run it. I mean, I had a big pack on. And then also in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I think there was a marathon up in town this day. So naturally, I said to him, you know, oh, no, you're mistaken. I'm not a runner. No, I didn't do that, actually. I was not in the mood to talk. And I was like, it doesn't really matter if he thinks I ran it. No big deal. I'm going to pay for my patch and get out of here. So I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. So so then he says, it's kind of a hot day for that. And I was like, yeah, you just drink a lot of water. And then he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, so did, you know, were there a lot of people doing it? And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm thinking to myself, holy cow, why didn't I just have $3 cash? And we're waiting for, like, my debit card to come through. We're, like, in the UP. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this cannot happen fast enough. So then I'm like, okay, divert, you know, just get him. He's like, well, I'm a runner too. I'm like, oh, great, you know, well, do you run the marathon, you know? And he's like, oh, I can't do it because I'm always in season, you know. And then in my head, I'm thinking to myself, two things. One, Kate, you are ridiculous. Why don't you just fess up? Two, what if he asks me my time? I've been around runners, like, this is the next natural step. So what was your time? So I'm seriously, like, trying to calculate, like, what would be a realistic time? In my head, if he asks me my time, I don't want to look like, you know, crazy, but, you know, so, but I'm just thinking divert, and, like, I am, like, starting to sweat even more, and my heart rate's going up, and we have this going in, and so finally, you know, I pay for my patch, and he didn't ask me my time, thank goodness, and I'm walking out, and he's like, well, you know, he's talking about his running season. I'm like, oh, have a great season. He's like, yeah, you know, great to meet you. I'm like, yeah, you too. Keep running. You know, and I'm like walking out, and I get out to the car, and I'm like, what did I just do? That was like this, it was just stupid. You know, you find yourself, have you been in a situation where you just find yourself, you've told just like, you didn't even mean to lie, but then all of a sudden you're like, I'm just going to keep lying, because for some reason it seems less awkward than simply being like, actually, oh, you know, I could have just been like, oh, no, you know, ha-ha, funny, I wasn't talking about that. But then you get to a point where I've said, you know, clearly alluded that I was with him and pretending that I had just run this marathon. I get into the car, I say to my friend Brian, I'm like, you'll never believe what just happened to me. She was laughing. You know, and it's interesting because I don't think I did, you know, I'm not confessing that, like, please pray for me. I lied to the gift shop person in the UP. But I wonder where this pattern comes from. You know, just last night, I was with some friends for dinner, this family, and this little boy and the little girl were playing, and then at one point, he kicks her, you know, and the mom kind of sees it and comes over and is like, did you just kick Chloe? And he's like, no. And she's like, I didn't mean to, you know, kick her there. And she goes, okay, the fact that you said I didn't mean to kick her there implies that you even intended to kick her. You know, so he's busted, and he's still trying to deny it. I mean, even as kids, we're kind of like, no. I mean, I still remember, I think, being caught with a bottle of nail polish in my hand that I'd maybe put on the side of the house or our car, I can't remember. And one of my parents being like, did you put this? No, it wasn't me. And we do this, it's some of our natural reaction. And it becomes second nature, to the point to more serious things when, for instance, my mother confronts me later in life and says, hey, did I just hear you getting sick in the bathroom? And I say, no, it wasn't me. She's like, that's weird, because I thought you ate dinner, and then I heard you go upstairs and got sick. No, you know, you didn't hear that. And we slowly slip into making these gut responses. Why do we do that? I think we do it because sin is real. Last semester, I don't know if you remember this, but Kate preached a sermon on sin and talked how about sin is turning inward towards ourselves, as we are naturally bent to be inward focused. It's who we're naturally bent to be. And Trigg, on Sunday night, preached Psalm 51, and what does it mean to pray our sin? And he reminded us that Psalm 51 reminds us of who our sin is against. It's against God and what God wants for us and doesn't want for us. And that our only cure for this inward bent on ourselves is trusting in God's mercy and truth. This morning, I just want us to look at one verse from this psalm, verse 6. You, this is speaking to God, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. When we look at the Hebrew in this, now Psalms, as some of you have maybe picked up on, they're poems. And poems, for those of us who don't regularly read or write poems, can be hard to understand because our minds aren't thought to think that way. But there's real beauty and depth into it when we start to dig a little bit deeper, particularly when we have, as we have here, something that's been translated from another language. I love it when you find in the Bible, I don't know if your verse has that, the little like asterisk or letter in the bottom, it says Hebrew meaning uncertain. And you're like, well, wait, if that's uncertain. So that's what it says. If you see that, you desire truth in the inward being. The reason it's uncertain is there's only one other place in the entire of scriptures where this same Hebrew word shows up. And it's in Job 38, 36, where he also talks about finding truth in the inward being. It's kind of rare. But basically, what inward being is, it's your entrails. It's your inner gut. Where in the ancient world, they thought that as the seat of kind of feelings and sense and truth. So your deepest, darkest, your gut. And what God is saying is, what the psalmist is saying that God wants, is God wants our inner gut to match our external. That the truth isn't this idea, the Hebrew word here for truth isn't this idea of absolute certainty, but it's about trustworthiness and reliability. Does our external confession match our inward gut? Then it goes on to say, therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. This is fascinating to me. Secret heart is also this Hebrew word that implies your inmost place. Most places in Scripture where this occurs, this Hebrew root word occurs, that's translated here secret heart, most places it's talking about the plugging up of a water source and how people would do it to divert water from their enemies. You know, when you're in the desert, if you don't have water, what happens? You die. It's a way to keep life away from others. And I wonder if this plugging up in our secret hearts isn't also a way that keeps us from true life and life. One of the most fascinating and humbling parts of my job is getting to talk with you all, particularly when a student comes in and they got this look on their face that this is big. And they're nervous and they're kind of chit-chatting and they're not sure what to say. And then they say, I'm going to tell you something that you've never heard before. And I'll be honest, usually I think, pretty much can guarantee it, heard it all. But it's this feeling that I am the only one who struggles with. So whether it's the young man sitting there telling me that he is obsessed with exercise because he is worried that he's actually getting fat, or if it's the young woman through her tears is telling me of her addiction to pornography, or if it's the student who confesses that their thoughts are so dark and so deep within them that the only way they know how to deal with it is by cutting themselves. Something happens in that moment when it is simply spoken aloud. Because you see, sin wants to stay secret. Sin wants to set up a house in our inward parts. But do we trust in God's mercy and God's love to be able to confess that? And then the next step, I think, for us as a community is, do we trust one another? It's interesting, I think, that we will confess our sins to God, who is holy and knows nothing of sin, but we have a hard time confessing to one another, fellow sinners. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his great book, Life Together, talks about this. And he says this, the pious fellowship that we often have permits no one to be sinners. And then goes on to say, sin wants to remain known, unknown. It shuns the light. But sin must be brought into the light. And it's scary. And it's natural for us to be turned in on ourselves. But hear me clearly. You are not the only one who is struggling with sin. You are not the first person to think that thought or to have that addiction. My hope for us is that we can be a community that confesses to God and to one another. I'm going to pray to close us. And I'm going to ask that God reveals to us our inward hearts. And I'm going to challenge you that if God pricks something in your heart, tell someone. Don't just stand up, put your mask back on that everything's okay, and walk out of here. But commit to yourself to tell it to somebody. Let's pray. God, you desire truth in our inward being. You know our secret hearts. Holy Spirit, I ask now that you will move in us as a community. Move in us as individuals to reveal to us what is hidden in our secret hearts. And Spirit, as we see and sense and feel this, may you also show us Jesus in the picture, standing ready to forgive, standing ready to embrace and to love. God, we desire true community, and that takes work. And so we ask for this courage to do this work, because we can't do it on our own. Wash us, cleanse us, change us, and make us whole. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.